Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 378, recorded on Tuesday, July 17th, 2018, where we source the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, and Jason.
Hi.
And Ron.
Why is a napkin on the table?
There's a napkin on the table because we like to keep it clean around here at the Twit Studios. We just,
you know, like to polish.
We should
spit shine the phones before we show them off on the show.
We didn't spit shine the phones. You're going to see them. They're going to be covered in fingerprints.
Yeah, it's true. We didn't spit shine anything.
Grease.
These things are gross. they'd be gross either way. How you guys doing?
Okay.
Yeah?
Doing great.
Yeah.
In the lull of the summer right now, where it's kind of like it's pretty quiet in the tech world. Just little things around here and there. Nothing really major to announce yet. Just kind of biding our time until the holiday shopping starts, really.
And the wow. Samsung shopping starts.
That's for some people. For those of you who are diehard Note fans, which we learned last year, there are so many out there that an entire marketing campaign was built around it.
Yeah. Samsung's not hurting. Although, didn't I read very recently that they had not a very good quarter compared to that their quarter was down this last time?
Can I just be honest that I haven't really been keeping track of Samsung this year? I really feel like in terms of phone launches, despite the big fanfare and the big show, I just wasn't as dialed in or waiting for that next thing from them because I've seen so many successes with other companies. I'm giving them time now. You know what I mean?
It's a season.
Yeah. And not just time myself, but also telling people about them who ask me, there's not just Samsung phones.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Didn't you know it's Apple iPhones and Samsung phones?
Sure.
That's all that there
sure.
is.
Or as some Pretty people like to call them, galaxies.
Yes. It's my galaxy. It runs Samsung. It runs on Samsung. We're going to talk about, some stuff. You know, it was like Flo said. I was wondering
when we to give you a little behind the scenes. We're going to go a lot of behind the scenes this week since it's just the three of us. We don't have a guest. And we have a little document that we go off of, and there's little notes. And at the top of the show, normally Jason puts, this week we'll discuss, and a nice little summary of what we're going to discuss. And this week Jason didn't do that. So
I actually did, but because – okay, so I'll take a step back for a second. I'm not using I'm not using the Pixelbook. This week, I am using the Acer Chromebook Tab 10, which is the first tablet Chrome OS or Chrome Tab, essentially. So, and I think it's for the education market. So here's our dock, and it's upside down because I've got it plugged in because I'm charging the battery. It literally just got.
Do you
it all
remember
set up
when Android can do that though?
What's that?
When it couldn't rotate?
Oh yes. This is kind of proving or attempts to prove whether Chrome OS can be a tablet OS.
Right, since we've been pretty much abandoned.
Yes, exactly. Android tablets not delivering very many of those anymore. So your alternative, if you're in the education market, which is where is the only place that you can get this tablet, from what I understand, is to get a Chrome OS tablet. I'm expecting we're going to see more of these, but right now this is the first one. And so I've just started using it today. So I'm running the show off of it, which is why that little blurb wasn't there, because I don't know how to go into that cell and select just part of the thing that I normally replace. So it's actually to the side of it. And I had to make other concessions too, because apparently Chrome OS on a tablet, there are certain things you just can't do.
Nope.
And it's kind of a bummer because there are things I do every week for this show. So anyways, the curtain has been pulled back. Let's put the curtain back a little bit
You never realize how thankful you are for a trackpad or a mouse of some sort until you try to use a tablet as your daily driver.
Totally. And I mean, you know, up to this point, in order to type, of course, you have to use the on-screen keyboard, which is fine. I use on-screen keyboards all the time. But on a tablet interface, especially in a dock, when that on-screen keyboard comes on, it's like 2/3 of the screen, and then you've got all the toolbar stuff and, you know, the top of the window stuff.
It's the same on Chrome.
It leaves this little sliver of, like, viewable space in your dock, this tiny little window when the keyboard is up. So little things like that, just maybe not the best use of space, but I understand why it is way it is. But this week we're going to discuss Assistant's Google Now Envy. Don't know if you saw this, but it's like the return of Google Now. The Moto Z3 Play, I've been using that for a week, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I just got, literally walked in today and saw the Sony Xperia ZX3 waiting for me. That's right. Sony phone. We don't get very many
to
of
which
these
I replied, it. Sony?
Yes. Sony.
What?
And we actually have one to show on the show. Like, this never happens, so I'm super
speaking
stoked.
Speaking of Sony, by the way, and I texted you guys about this.
Yes.
No joke, I was on the New York City subway, and I sat down next to a woman, and she took her phone out, and I was like, that looks like a very boxy phone. And so I kind of peered over to see what it was, and it was a Sony.
Ah, it doesn't happen very often in New York. Yep. Maybe, or at least I don't know how many times I'm out and I see a Sony device. It, very, very rarely.
Zero.
We could have in the wild, you know,
yes,
segment for that.
I couldn't get a photo because it would have been awkward, but yeah.
Yeah. We've got something called the Info Bar, which I think is right down Ron's alley. Tons of emails and a few voicemails even, and a whole lot more. So, you know, light news week, but we've filled the show nicely. Victor is not here. Or he is, and he's just wearing his Macintosh mask.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
His mask and Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. All right, it's time for the news, Josh. Do it.
Good news, everyone. We're going to start reporting the news proactively before it breaks. Let's see how that goes on Android News.
Hey. You nailed it.
Yeah.
I kind of don't know how to respond to that. You were really good at that.
Thank you. Yeah. I had it written down. That helps.
Oh, yeah. That definitely does help. Preparation. That's what it's all about. Ron, go.
When you know you're stepping in, you got to prepare. Yeah. All right. So slow news week. But today, a little news, or this week, a little news about Google Assistant. Google Assistant is getting some improvements. And there's some improvements that might be very familiar, or they might ring a bell if you're familiar with Google Now and things of Android nature. So Google Assistant's improvements include you're going to get a visual snapshot feature that will summarize your day, and you'll get a single scrollable interface with all the important details from your day, scraping your calendar, telling you what you need to know. You'll get flight times, reservations, so you can schedule you can see meetings that are scheduled and that sort of thing. You get parking reminders if you parked a car, time needed for commute if you drive, bike, or walk. I love the commute advanced notification. And it's soon going to be expanded even more to include notes from apps like Google Keep, Any.do, and Todoist. And also coming soon are recommendations for music and podcasts, which I'm very interested in seeing how that works. And it gets updated throughout the day. And so you could see this now. I actually saw it earlier. Look for the blue inbox icon on the top of your assistant screen in the upper right-hand corner. And that's where you'll get to this. Very interesting. So what do we think of these Google Assistant updates?
Let me see. Did I get this update? I did not.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Oh, I did.
Cool. Show it off.
Okay, I hope there's nothing. Let's see. Hold on, I'm going to make sure that there's nothing. Let's see. We're okay. All right, go ahead and over the shoulder that shot, Josh. There it is. Oh, let me turn down the, and let me, whoop, whoop, whoop. That's what post-production's for. All right, there we go. So that's how far away home I live. Yes, there's really bad traffic right now. Welcome to taking 37, which is the only route between Sonoma County and the east side of the Bay Area.
Welcome to 5:30 on commute on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's
night.
Just stopped. Below it are little smart suggestions for things like playing music, what's on my shopping list.
Oh, so that, and that's the kind of like the integration
with
messages,
the
messages. Oh, okay.
Navigate home, what's the weather coming up for you? Megan and I are going to talk about know-how this week.
Good, good.
You know.
You guys are doing great, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It looks like nothing to keep track of. no stock.
All of your Facebook stock.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's also, let's see, we can explore using the assistant. Calls and messages. What's local? News, weather, games. See all of it. I feel like this is like the search engine online for assistant.
Yeah.
Where you can go in and just kind of see.
Right.
Here's what's trending. I can set a timer. I can call Starbucks, I guess. I could play hip hop, I guess.
Like, did you know that you could do this? Did you know that you could do this? Did you know that you could do this?
Oh, look at that. You can broadcast its movie time across your house just by like pressing this button.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Don't tell everybody it's time to
play music for dancing. Let's see if I update it.
Yeah, this is just like an informational thing. Like, these are all the things that assistant can do. Did you know?
That's like, really video call dad. Okay. I kind of want to see if this.
Let's uh-oh.
Nope.
Video call dad.
No. Oh.
Starting a video call with.
No. Stop calling my dad.
Well, everyone, we're calling Flo's dad. Here we go.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
And because of knock knock, dad saw that Flo was calling.
Good thing my dad uses iOS. I don't even think he has Hangouts on his phone.
Well, does he have Duo? Because that's what it was called.
No, he does not. Oh, okay. We use WhatsApp.
Ah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what my dad and I use.
All right.
If you must know.
Just curious. Actually, just my mom. Yes, my mom is an iOS lady.
Yeah.
And she just got a new iPhone. And I told her, you have to install Duo on there because I don't have FaceTime. You want to video talk, you know, with me at any time, you're going to have Duo on there. Sorry, Mom. That's just the way it is.
Did she do it? Did she do it?
They're traveling right now.
She Duo it?
And so she used that as an excuse. She's like, when I get home, I'll be able to do that.
No excuse.
Sure,
people
sure
do
honey,
that.
Whatever you say.
Yes.
When I get home, like, hello, LTE, 3G, it exists.
Yeah, well, how do you think we're communicating right now?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Mom. But anyways, whatever. I'll give her that.
Wow.
But a lot of this sounds very familiar, don't you guys think? I mean, this is the stuff that I liked Google Now for, was the proactive, like, we know enough about, you know, we collect all your data and you've said that that's okay. Therefore, here's the benefit we give you. We give you, you know, the heads up that you've got this meeting in 2 hours and you should leave for it in an hour and a half because of traffic or whatever. All this proactive stuff. That's good.
I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it.
Good
I
to
mean,
have you back.
The news feed is constantly updating. And I have to say, Google, for you definitely chose an interesting time to have constantly streaming news embedded into the launcher of our Pixels. Because I just don't want to click over there. I need to be in my bubble from 9 to 5 so that I can like focus on work and then afterwards, you know, and I wish there was a way that you could just be like, yeah, spill all of this devastating news after a certain time of day.
Or, well, I mean, what you can do, like, obviously, if you're swiping over,
yes,
you're getting to the news stuff and then you tap that and that would take you in there.
Yeah, but you still have to see that first thing. And if that first thing is like,
but
you
don't have to, you could just do that and then that'll take you in.
Oh, you mean I could squeeze?
Oh, sorry. You could do the squeeze because that's boop, something that you have activated. I do not.
I use the squeeze. I like it. Look at that.
I turned it off.
Squeeze.
Very nice. Very nice. So I think it's good to have all these features in there. And it's funny how Google learns lessons, then takes things away, then brings them back another day. That rhymes.
Well, it's the way I look at it is like it's like a tool set that they have. They've created this stuff. It's like a library of code, and they can deploy it into any app they want at any time, which I think is really interesting. That's cool that they're taking this stuff from Google Now and putting an assistant. Why did it take this long? That's my question. That's a better question.
Yeah, totally. Because everybody has been saying for quite a while, this is the stuff that I want Google Now to do or that I missed from Google Now. And hey, Google likes to take its time and make sure that it's right. Or
and
so they say.
Refine it in the new material stylings.
Yep. You know it. All right. So that is Assistant. That's all the news that we have. It's time for hardware.
You know, it's a light time in the world of Google and Android.
And I'm just going to tell you right now, using this tablet to get to the notes that I've put in is painful.
Yep. This is why I don't use my
I cannot get access my notes to save my life.
Would you like to use mine?
Oh, I think I figured it
you
out.
Got it?
I'll drop a cursor in there and then drag the cursor
look
around.
Look how awful that it's interface really painful. Experience is.
Maybe I should just show this to you instead of talking lightly
awesome.
About
this
it.
This is great.
All right. So here's the dock, right? And I have here Moto.
Yeah, yeah.
Z3 Play Preview, which is what I'm about to do. That little drop down thing. Why is the brightness so bright? Here, hold on. Let me take that down a little bit. There we go. All right. So that little tab right there says that there's a note in there. We run our show with all these embedded notes in the cells. If I tap it to see the notes, there it is. The keyboard's covering it. Okay. So I'll hide the keyboard. Now I want to scroll in there. Oh, no, that doesn't work. The entire thing scrolls. All right. So then I'll just grab the scroll bar. Nope, that doesn't work. Okay. So then I will drop a cursor in there and drag the cursor around. There we go. Now I get to all of my notes. Isn't that beautiful? Welcome to my world, folks. Anyways.
Is that a first world problem?
No, it's a Google problem.
Look, we work on computers all the time. We're always talking about things that work and things that don't. That doesn't work.
Fair.
You know.
Yeah. What? Oh, it's okay. I have my Pixel book here if I really break down.
Thank you, Burke.
I have my backup. Thank you, Burke.
Burke was offering a laptop to Jason. In. But we have to do this for the show because we need to see how children are going to use this.
For better or for worse, I'm on this thing for the next week and a half. So these pain points are going to become far too familiar.
That explains why Jason hasn't responded to any of my emails.
Yes. I'm not going to be responding to anything on this tablet for the next week. All right. Let's take a quick look at the Moto Z3 Play. We showed off the G6 last week and the Moto Z3 Play. I've been playing with the Z3 Play for the last week. I'm going to do a full review on the new screensavers. Thought I'd just kind of dive into a little bit of a quick preview.
A galaxy wallpaper.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with this device. The fact that... And I think last week it got not enough attention paid to it because I didn't realize that this removable battery Moto Mod was included in the box during the initial kind of preview that we did last week. The fact that they include this in the box makes this a really good phone if what you really want is if battery is the most important thing to you, right? The battery is unbelievable on this, and it's excellent battery life throughout the day. It has stock on the phone itself, 3,000 milliamp hours. The included Moto Mod is something like 2,200, if I could scroll this thing delicately, 2,200 milliamp hours of extra battery on here. And the phone pulls from the power on the Moto Mod first. So if you've got both things charged up completely and you have this Moto Mod battery pack on there, you can go almost an entire day, basically, off of the Moto Mod, and you still haven't even touched the device phone or the device battery. And so then once you remove it, of course, it just starts pulling from the phone. Or once it reaches zero, it starts pulling from the phone. So I have to say that's a really big selling point for the Z3 Play. And then what you also end up with is you end up with the opportunity, if you like, if you are a fan of really thin kind of like glass and aluminum bodied devices, popping that off gives you that, right? Like now I've got a very thin pocketable phone, doesn't have that extra kind of bulk to it that the Moto Mod includes. But it really reminds me of the days of, you know, back when I had the Motorola Droid and I had the removable battery. I had to slide off the back cover and pop out the removable battery. I'd have an extra one always charged up because the battery sucked so bad.
An extra one charged up, yes.
And it, you know, it's kind of like that, but with all the benefit of the fact that your phone doesn't power down when you take off that battery pack, you can just do it on the fly and even have it charged up.
And keep it in your bag so that you just take it out when you're at a music festival or
totally.
on the train home and your phone's dying. Just charge it up real quick. Yep. You don't even have to carry a cord.
Well, yeah, and that is one thing about this Moto Mod battery pack is there's no way to charge this on its own. So it has to be on the phone, and then when you plug in the phone, it'll charge up the phone first and then the battery pack. So it almost makes sense to just kind of keep it on until you don't need it instead of keep it off until you do, if that makes sense. But I do feel that this is a really good way to make people understand the value of the Moto Mods, because I think Moto Mods was always a really neat and interesting thing to offer. It was right around that time when everybody thought modular was the next thing.
Around that time. Hold on. That's still today.
Well, no, we're a couple of years into modular, right?
No, I know, but more of the joke is that is that modular hasn't taken off.
That's
so
true.
I still think it's going to be the thing, but yeah.
You do. I'm not entirely sure, but you could be right. Long tail. But maybe this was the way for Motorola to prove to users why they might want to buy a Moto Mod including it in the box, and especially with the one that's probably going to get the most use. This is probably the best use case of a Moto Mod, even though it's also probably the most boring.
But third time around, though, this is the third generation of this.
I'm not saying it's actually going to change any minds at this point. I'm saying maybe when they initially launched, they should have done this. Like, hey, we're introducing Moto Mods as a thing, and to show you how it is, we've included this in the box
instead
from day one.
You, yeah.
Instead of offering it as like a $50 or $70 add-on to people who just weren't used to the concept, you know what I mean?
Or offering projectors and things that people weren't really clamoring for. People are always clamoring for extra battery.
Yes. Yes. So it's a boring Moto Mod, no doubt, but it's a very usable one. Everybody's going to understand that. So anyways, I think from a battery perspective, this is a really great device. $499.99 is the cost on it. You know, the internal specs aren't necessarily the most cutting edge Snapdragon 636 processor, like I said last week.
Mid-range.
But mid-range, but I mean, even on that lower tier processor is going to give you even better battery life as well, right? Like, it's not just sucking down power at every turn. So I didn't find any slowdown or anything in my experience with it, and I actually liked it. The display is awesome. 6.01 inch full HD display, AMOLED display. Everything's really nice and sharp, you know, no kind of blurring of the pixels as you look close on it and kind of pick it apart. The fingerprint sensor on the side is one differentiator here. You see, we've seen this on some phones, but you know, you don't see it as much as you see the other placements like the back or the front or whatever. And a week in, I would say I really like having the fingerprint sensor on the side because, you know, when you pick up a phone, it makes it very easy to just unlock it like that. Or if I'm holding it with this hand, I can just go like that and unlock it. I find that I have to learn more fingerprints than I do on the back. On the back, I really just train one fingerprint because I'm almost ever going to use just the pointer finger. And I think that makes you a little bit more secure, right? It's less points of entry. The problem with how they implemented it, though, is that they put the power button on the other side of the phone. And there's just something very awkward about where your thumb rests on the fingerprint sensor and where your finger almost hits with the power button over there. It's almost like they don't line up. And sometimes, like, I'd pick it up and I'd want to do one versus the other, depending on the scenario. And it requires kind of a shifting of your grab, I guess. Whatever. Little things. Like you said a little bit ago, Ron, first world problem, but it's usability and it's things that you notice over time, you know?
Well, speaking of first world problem, this is probably a good segue to mention that I am back on the Moto Z2.
Oh, right.
So if I had a little catastrophic failure with my Google Pixel when it rebooted and never came back to life after a day and a half. And while my Google Pixel did boot back up, I don't trust it now. And so now I'm rocking the Moto Z2 until I have a replacement.
It's okay, Ron. The phone fairy will be paying you a visit soon. Just be sure to put that Pixel underneath the pillow so the fairy can swap it out.
If I'm lucky.
It'll come in a really big box, too.
with some Oreos.
So you were able to get your phone back up? And I mean,
Pixel's
the Pixel always backing up anyways, so it was probably all backed up.
Well, no. It's funny because it's this is what I found out. So I'm on the subway and my phone turns off and it won't turn back on.
God, that would just freak me out on the subway, first of all.
Right. And so I get home and I plug it in. I let it charge for like 20 minutes. It's still nothing. I do the button and the power button and the volume button. I hold that for 30 seconds. Nothing. And so I just left it on the charger. Luckily, I had the Moto Z2. So I pulled that out, put my SIM card in. Totally, you know, everything working fine, except I realized that all my SMS messages, because I don't have an automated, I have SMS backup, but I don't have it automated. And then also I didn't back up my WhatsApp messages. They were last backed up like a week before that. So I restored WhatsApp, so I missed like a week. And this is like kind of the OCD part of me where it's like, I want all my messages. I want all my chats. Like, I want it all in there. And so that so I was kind of bummed out about that. But then like a day and a half later, I just looked at the Pixel, it was still on a charger, and all of a sudden I saw the battery icon. So I'm like, oh, let me turn it back on. I turned it back on. And it was able to turn back on. I was able to sync WhatsApp, so I got all those messages. And then as I was uploading all my SMS messages, it rebooted again. And I went through about an hour of just reboot loop. Finally, I turned it off, let it sit for like another hour. Then I tried it again, and it finally backed up all my SMS. So I'm restored. But yeah, it points out to you. It's funny because you realize like all my photos were backed up on Google Photos. All my I got to give our good friends at Pocket, friends of the show at Pocket Cast. Pocket Cast remembered all of my unlistened podcasts, mm-hmm. and it also remembered podcasts that were in like I was in the middle of listening to. You know, in the past, I would, you know, a new install of Pocket Cast is completely blank. It would remember my subscriptions, but not remember which ones I'd flagged to download and all that sort of stuff. This time it remembered it. So I was like, great. So really the only beat I missed was WhatsApp and my SMS messages. So now my next phone, I'm going to set those backups to be nightly, and then that way I'll be fine. Yeah. So
wow.
There we go.
It hurts when your main phone goes down. And
yeah, I was really feeling for you, Ron, when you allowed us. Which I really just want to appreciate the fact that you still allowed us, even though your phone was out of commission.
I did.
So I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, luckily for you, you actually have a backup phone that you can use right now, right?
Yeah,
people that happens
exactly. Very lucky. Hey, I almost dusted off the Robin. If I couldn't find this Moto one, I would have backed that Robin.
See, so. Hold on to your phones. You never know when you might need them.
Hold on
to
your phones.
Anyways, the Moto Z3 Play. I'm going to have a full review on the screensavers. I've only scratched the surface on this show. But I think there are definite reasons why I think this is a great phone. The challenge is that it's so close in price to the OnePlus 6, which could be the phone fairy phone that you'll be receiving.
We'll see what the phone fairy brings them.
We'll see what happens.
I don't know.
But anyways, they're really close in price. And so you can't help but do a direct comparison between them. And I think there are strengths on both sides. So
one of them works with Verizon and Sprint.
That's right. The Moto Z3 Play works on all carriers, and the OnePlus 6 is limited. So there's that.
It is limited.
Yeah. And then real quick, I don't want to monopolize, but I do want to show this off because this never happens. You guys, I worked really hard. I think I have a Sony contact now.
So whoa! That was a hard thing to do when I was doing that full time. It's hard to keep Sony, to keep on their
list. And I this is the second device I've gotten from this person, and they're awesome. And I'm like, listen, we talk about Sony all the time. A lot of times we're just like, you know, guessing based on articles we write. We want hands on with this stuff. Can you please help me? And what do you know? I have the Sony Xperia XZ2 Premium. Probably most people that would buy this phone would call it the Sony Xperia XZ2 Premium. Let's be real. But it's I literally just took it out of the box right before the showtime.
Wow.
This is a
Nokia
lot of phone.
Lumia? Sorry.
By looking at it.
That's what it looks like on the back.
Yeah, by looking at it, it doesn't look like a Sony phone, right? Sony has that very squared off look, and this really doesn't have that. Maybe from the front a little bit, but just kind of looks like more of a general black slab.
That's why I asked you what it was. I had no idea it was a Sony phone.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's a grand, basically. It's $999.
What?
This is an expensive phone. This is a really expensive phone.
Where is it being sold in America?
Yeah.
For $1,000? And it's not an iPhone X?
Would you like to buy one?
For $1,000?
$1,000 is a lot for a phone, no matter how you slice it.
Yes.
We'll Apple. See. Well, and so one thing that differentiates on the Xperia XZ2 Premium, they're talking a lot about the camera performance in the sense that it has excellent low light performance. They say that these cameras have the world's highest ISO sensitivity for video recording beyond the human eye's capabilities. Even the human eye can do ISO 1600. They say the XZ2 can do 51,200, which so then, you know, they've attached, they're promoting a lot of really low light video shots that look really, really sharp, really nice in, hardly any light at all. So I'm really excited to play around with it. Sony is known for its cameras. $1,000 is expensive
for low
light.
No
doubt about
it. Come on. I mean,
I
guess you can tell us if it's worth any of that grand, any of that hundreds.
That's my plan. Even has a battery, a button, for a camera.
Yeah. I thought it was a dedicated button for $100 bills.
Cha-ching,
cha-ching. I thought you were going to actually say that you could slide out the battery, to which I was going to say, whoa.
Oh, yeah. You just crack the glass on the back and you're good to go. You can tell it's good at collecting fingerprints, but, you know, a lot of phones are these days now that they're doing glass all over and everything. But it's a nice feeling phone. It definitely feels substantial. Like, it's got a little weight to it.
Yellow.
So do we feel like Sony is poised to be like the most not improved but most like most potential carrier out there? Like, well, I'm trying to think of the right word, because they're available and they're looks like
they're
it's a very good
they're
phone.
On the market.
They're on the market.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, yet again we come back around to Sony on this show, and it's not that their phones are bad. You just rarely, if ever, see them in the U.S. There's some lacking, you know, and it's not like Sony is a brand that doesn't exist in the U.S. It does in other facets. But when it comes to phones, for whatever reason, you just hardly hear about them. You hardly see anybody getting really excited about them. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. Yes, you that are yelling at the screen saying, I love Sony phones. And I'm going to write to you. Please do. AAA@twit.tv. There are fans, of course, but just compared to the other phone brands in the U.S., Sony doesn't really get a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, Sony's still got that camera, that camera pedigree.
Yes,
like, people
absolutely
know them as, like, Sony is the camera maker. They make lenses. This is what they're good at. Yep. And then, of course, the Walkman, but that, like, doesn't really exist. It's very interesting, though, to see Sony in this attempt to really come to the new world of tech.
Yeah, well, and
but $1,000.
But and what's funny is, for the longest time, there was no fingerprint sensor on their phones in the U.S. This has a fingerprint sensor.
Even though
sensor.
It was built in, the hardware was there.
Right.
It just wasn't available on the software.
And it was on every other phone. It was there on every other
everywhere
phone. But
else
for Sony's,
in the world.
It was not. So it's right. Weird little quirks like that. But it looks like they're kind of undoing those a little bit. This is a nice looking phone. I'm excited to play around with it. So I will do that. And I will let you guys know what I think from there. Ron, you've got the next one.
I've been waiting all night to talk about this.
I knew it.
So there's a Japanese feature phone by the company KDDI called the InfoBar, and this is the stuff of legends. This is just amazing. So the InfoBar, is it 15 or XV?
I don't know. That's just what was there.
Yeah.
XV.
Okay, well, anyway. Well, no, I think
no,
it's,
well, it's
think
the 15th
it's,
anniversary.
It's the 15, yeah, exactly. So the InfoBar XV, or the InfoBar 15, is the first model in 3 years, celebrating a decade and a half since the original in 2003. So 15 years after the original, here we are celebrating it. It is got Android running underneath it, but the software is designed to be a feature phone UI, okay? It's got physical buttons on the front. As you can see here in the photos, it's got the little clicky little buttons there. It's got a 3.1-inch 800 by 480 pixel screen with an 8-megapixel camera, running LTE, 1500 milliamp battery. It's going to be available in Japan in October. This thing
that
is the stuff of legends. Look at that. Look how cool the different buttons are.
That's sexy.
That is style. Flo, I got to imagine you'd like this, the color combinations.
Oh, absolutely.
Here.
Especially that, what is that, eggplant one at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
salmon.
Quite
understand.
Oh, no, that's cherry berry.
That's
sorry.
Salmon.
That's cherry berry.
Oh.
I don't quite understand the choices of why some buttons are different colors and some aren't. Like, well, I was trying to figure out what the pattern is, right? Because,
yeah,
like, the hang up, the one, the eight, and the pound are a different color than phone, pickup phone, 264 and star. Like, it's very strange. I love this phone. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is kind of, the color pattern or the color markings are definitely interesting because they follow on each. Like, on one hand, if you were just to look at one, it would seem very random. But then you look at the other ones and you realize the hang up is always the darkest. The one is always the darkest. The eight is always the darkest. I don't know. I don't understand. But pretty cool looking.
Man, you guys remember when phones used to be like this? So cute and compact and with buttons.
No, they look like little toys.
They do look like little
toys. Cool.
Yeah.
But they were little informational toys that you would take with you everywhere.
Now you can have a little informational toy running Android. How cool is that?
Well, if you go to Japan and buy it, because it's only sold in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Can you get this on AliExpress? Oh, that's Chinese, right?
Yeah, it's Chinese.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see.
We'll see.
You got the rumor beat.
Well, you know what else you can get on AliExpress is, well, actually, you probably could get some Samsung stuff if you wanted to. But anyway, I guess We are officially there because it is almost August. And what does August mean? It means Samsung Note time. Yay. Or at least it has for the last couple of years. So now we are talking about what's coming up with the Galaxy Note 9. So many leaks on the internet. So many leaks. And just so you know, time. On August 9th, Jason and I will be hosting our, what would you call it? Chat sesh? Live chat sesh?
Live coverage of the Samsung Galaxy Note.
Yes. Live coverage of the Samsung Galaxy Note 9 event.
That's right.
Which I believe is in New York City. Right. So New a York render City. Leak shown on Android headlines. So there was a render leak shown on Android headlines to show what the Note 9 looks like. Let me start that over. Also, Eevee leaks showed off an image that includes the stylish yellow S Pen and the fingerprint on the back. Oh. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that weird, awkward fingerprint on the front, on the bottom sort of thing. And I guess the yellow S Pen is so it stands out. And then, of course, there was a leak of another yellow S Pen render and headphone jack on the bottom. So I'm guessing Samsung is still going to stick with that. Look, guys, we've still got the Courage port. So that's going to stay around.
Yeah, I applaud that.
And then there was also a render to show what appears to be an actual model with a cracked screen, because you've got to show all sides of the phone life.
I think this is, I happen to have one. They'll never know. Although, if you have one of these devices, it's probably not a good idea to share a photo of the one that's cracked, because like that's easily identifiable, right? Well, I guess they might not know it's cracked. But,
true.
But, I mean, there's no other phone that's cracked just like that one. So
well, you don't know you that. Somebody could have dropped it. In the middle of nowhere. So what we're thinking, so this S Pen, yellow S Pen, is it just to like, look, don't forget my S Pen.
So you yes. never forget it.
I mean, it's obviously a thing. It's at least in the one that Evleaks shows here, it's styled to match the image that's being shown on the render, you know, on the home screen. So and Samsung likes to kind of tie their color palettes together in ways like that. I don't know. It's flashy. Maybe that's why.
Sure.
It looks like a sports car.
I guess.
If a sports car could design an S Pen, that's what it would look like.
Anyway, this is clearly very, very designed for the professional-minded, just based off of its very angular design, unlike the S9. And yeah. The S9 Plus, it's very angular, probably to make some room for that yellow S Pen that you're going to be docking in there. So I don't know. It's coming. I mean, we're going to hear more August 9th, and we'll be able to wax more poetically about it and the specs that are inside and what we could be expecting from a Note.
Expect poetry.
Nine. From a Note 9. I am just, there's a
you
lot
You seem
of,
so enthralled.
It's not that I'm not enthralled. It's that I am really looking for something to get excited about, because I just, you know, people ask me, what phone are you using? And I just tell them I'm using the Pixel 2. Like, I have very little desire to use any other phone outside of Google's Pixel. So, I don't know.
What's Samsung gonna
I'm waiting
do for
the
you?
World to catch on. I don't know. But the Note 9 is its own special little class.
It is.
A phone that's kind of like the first productivity phone. It helps spearhead this idea of big phone to do all your stuff on, productivity focused. So, I mean, people love it. Mm-hmm. People love it. And I think people are going to love the Note 9. They're going to find reasons to love it.
Absolutely. It is a very popular device.
It is.
I'm looking forward to playing with it.
Yeah. And drawing on it.
And understanding why yellow. I will understand. I
it
think
was
it's just
all
style
yellow.
Points. It's just style points.
That's hey. Hey, maybe this is a good time for you to talk to Samsung about yellow gold music.
Ooh, that's
there you go. That's branding.
Thought about
that's
that. Branding, right? You this could see yes, the Broadway stage show could be me.
No, your music videos
hitting
you
play
using
on
it.
A CD.
It's like when Ariana Grande used one of the notes and she was just drawing on it, so you could just draw on it, and then all the phones would come with your album
I could
installed.
Use the S Pen to make music. And then it
pans Mario
out.
Paint? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally.
There you go.
All right. So we're giving you lots of free ideas here, Samsung. You're welcome. It's time for apps. I got Josh. All right. This is a real quick one, and it's one of those self-serving ones because I put it in here because I don't like it.
But it's also not Google, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, well, I've been trying. I realize sometimes I have a tendency to load the apps section with Google apps.
Yeah.
I think sometimes in my brain I get confused on what apps means. Is it all app news or is it Google has some apps news?
It's all app news. The problem is there's just not a lot of app news in the world.
Exactly. But anyways, Twitter pushed out an update. And I guess they've been testing this in their test channels for a while. But the update moves the nav bar, if you want to call it the nav bar, from the top to the bottom. So now you've got all the little sections between the different parts of Twitter down here. You can't swipe between them. And in fact, if you try, it ends up pulling out your little sidebar instead, which is kind of lame. When it was up there, you could swipe side to side. And then if you go into something, the back is still up there. So that's lame. Although you could use the back button down there and that'll take you. So I guess maybe do that. But anyways, I wanted to bring this on because I wanted to see, like, how do we feel about all this information, these kind of control buttons moving from the top where they've been for so long down to the bottom? Now that we're starting to see it in more and more apps, how do we feel?
Well, you see, there was once a time when apps were not at all designed for Android users. They were designed for iOS users primarily and then ported over to Android. But what we see here is Twitter not only acquiescing to its Android-using crowd, but also adopting the new paradigms of our future interface, which I think is great. I really appreciate that.
That's applause for Twitter.
But yeah.
Yeah, which is good, which is a very good point. But the direction I was going to go with that, which is not in disagreement with you, Flo, at all, which is another angle. But Jason, you know, how do we feel about this move downward? Mm-hmm. I think this is a very delayed reaction to accepting the world of phones that are larger than what they used to be.
Yeah.
Very delayed.
The design paradigm on, I think, all mobile phones, not including iOS and Android, has been for about the 5-inch or so model phone. And while we've seen the emergence of the 6-inch plus model phone come out, the UIs haven't changed because they've been trying to accommodate both sides, and so you stick with the normal. But this is kind of the move to the bottom bar. I thought about this a lot because of the Google moving the search bar to the bottom in Oreo and moving forward, and now Twitter doing this. It's because our thumb can only go so far, and so it makes sense for, as you're holding the phone, for it to be down lower on the screen than at the top of the screen. I think that's 100% what it is. It's an adoption rate. Phones are bigger than 6 inches now. You need to have stuff more closer, lower on the phone.
Well, and Google's gone back and forth on this as well, which is no surprise because they tend to do that. But if I'm not mistaken, not very long ago on Chrome, and I'm showing it right now, on Chrome, the address bar moved from the top down to the bottom, and they tested that for a while. And then now it's back up at the top. So some things work for up there, apparently, and some things, you know, control stuff maybe needs to be down at the bottom. I don't know how you make that determination. Like, that being down there was done specifically for what you were talking about, Ron, because everything is down at the bottom, and for one added use and larger phones, it makes it easier to use. I don't know why you then revert to that up there, and in other apps it moves to the bottom. I don't know. I think it makes it kind of confusing. And also, by the way, this is a really nice Coleman compact folding table for camping.
Oh, look,
and it's a Prime Day deal. So, you know, get in on it like I did. Okay. Wow, you're flinching. You don't like tables? Is that it? How do you feel about tables?
I'm flinching because today's World Emoji Day, and I'm trying to just make all of the emoji faces that I can think of.
All right.
Not only is it World Emoji Day, but Google also revived Blobs. I don't know if anybody saw that this morning.
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Sadly,
firsthand.
The cupcakes did not come in the Android Blobs, but
Google, I love the Blobs.
Google is bringing back the blob emoji as a sticker pack on Gboard and Android messages. So
nice.
If you want to use the devil face, that is very, very, very much planning something. Also includes some animated ones, so kind of reminds me of the ones that we've been using in Google Hangouts. And, you know, blob emojis have been inside Allo, but since nobody's really using it except Ron, Jason, and I, you've been missing out on it.
We are single-handedly keeping Allo alive.
Absolutely.
Doing our part.
We are.
You're welcome, Google. Well, weren't you lamenting the loss of blob emojis not too long ago on the show?
Yes, but I have since, like, when you use emoji as part of your vernacular, your online vernacular, your Slack vernacular, you know, talk to your editors this way. I like to add a little bit of color in there, you know. Mm-hmm. You kind of get used to them. You start to really relate the emoji that you were using.
Whatever emoji it happens to be.
Yes.
Right. But, so you've moved on from
whatever emoji it happens to be, because like the crying emoji or the cry laughing emoji is a lot more humorous on iOS than it is on on Android. It's like a devastated crying.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's true.
So it
works. I stay away from that one.
Well, but I use it all the time, even with iOS people, because it works.
Oh, I see.
For me, you know.
Are you happy to have blobs back?
I mean, I have been getting used to the new way of things.
Yeah, you
so
moved
I
on.
Just I went with a high res Android emoji that they gave us, and we are getting a bunch of new emoji too in the next Unicode update. I mean, emoji are just a constantly evolving thing, and I love them.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's not you, blob emoji. It's Flo. All right.
Well, the
it's
blob emoji, they served their time, and then we had to mourn them. And listen.
It's hard to get over that once you've...
It's like when you watch a soap opera.
You say goodbye.
Okay? You said goodbye to the character. The character, you know, he's the father of the dynasty, and he, like, went away. And then you bring him back 3 years later and expect me to just, like, accept it. It's not going to happen. I've already mourned the loss of that character, and I moved on. So I've already mourned the loss of the blobs, and I appreciate that they've been resurrected for nostalgia's sake, but, you know, some things just belong as a sticker pack.
Yeah. Yes. Boom.
Boom.
Slam that book shut. All right. Mac and Josh, it's time for you to roll the email bumper.
We have an email bumper?
I just wanted to see you jump. We don't have an email bumper.
Nice.
You did jump, by the way.
You did. I'm so sorry, Josh.
I did.
That was great.
Jeez, Jason. You did.
Oh, boy. Now I feel like a jerk. You totally did jump. You're awesome, Josh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, except I did. I suck. Ron, you do not suck.
Nobody sucks. It's okay. We're all just joshing each other here.
It's time for me to go, Jason. I've been voted off.
Yes.
All right, guys.
Where's the power on this TV?
For those watching at home, for those listening at home, this is a visual gag.
Ron's
where Jason just turned my TV off because he said it's time for me to go.
All right. I think I turned it back on.
Wait, will he come back on?
I hope so.
I don't want to go because
oh,
we're
no, he's been replaced.
No, I don't want to go.
No. You're back. You're back.
All right, good.
We've invited you back.
We're doing email, which is always exciting. So, I'm back. Okay.
I just have to say real quick, in a matter of like 4 minutes, I think I pissed everybody off of this studio. I insulted Josh by making him jump for something that didn't exist. Alex had to get up and stop drinking his coffee because he thought I broke the TV. And then when the TV didn't turn back on, I saw Burke's face in the door giving me a grimace because he thought he had to help out. I'm really sorry, everybody.
And you work here full time.
Yeah.
So.
I don't mean to rock. I don't mean to rock the boat, you guys.
God.
All right. I think we can do this. Sorry to everyone.
All right. We're warmed up now for emails.
All right. So we're doing email. We want to hear from you, the All About Android community. We love you. And when it's the three of us without a guest, we want to take your questions. So our first question is a audio question that comes in from Darius, who called in, emailed in, voicemailed in with a question about Android Auto and IoT, and I have a fun postscript after we answer this question, but let's listen to Darius.
Awesome.
Hey guys, my name is Darius Elder, and I live in Denver, Colorado. I just wanted to call and see if you guys wouldn't mind talking about some of the potential integration features and kind of cool IoT-related things that you can do with Android Auto. So I have a ton of IoT built into my house. I bought a vehicle that had Android Auto built into it. It's a great interface. I love the Auto app. And one of the things I realized recently was that I could use the Google Assistant built into Android Auto to initiate IoT actions at my home, even when I'm driving around and not on the network. So I just didn't know if you guys knew about that. And if you did, any other things that you might recommend that Android Auto would be beneficial to a person that has it integrated into their car?
Thank you, Darius.
All right.
Cool. So, I don't know if you guys have any ideas on this.
Take it away.
Okay, I had one idea.
Yes.
And I mean, kind of the moral of the story as far as what you're talking about here is that your Android Auto, as far as I know, I don't have Android Auto head unit, but as far as I know, because it's Assistant, it can basically do all the things that Assistant can do.
Sort of.
Yeah. Okay.
It can't do everything that Assistant can do.
Okay.
So,
but it can with some of the connected device stuff. Like one of my favorite things is announce at home. So I announce when it's time to wake up in the morning. I imagine if you were driving home and you just picked up donuts, you could say, hey, G, announce. Hey, everyone, I'm on my way home with donuts. And it would announce that to everyone in the house.
I've never tried that.
I think.
So I've never tried any IoT-specific commands with Android Auto. I do use Android Auto on my phone whenever I travel long distances and also just to use the music. And sometimes I use voice commands to, you know, dictate text messages and also, you know, like have Google Maps do whatever. But one way that you can kind of try and figure out to see what works is you go to assistant.google.com and /explore, and you can actually, that's the search engine for all of the assistant's abilities.
Oh, okay.
I have this bookmarked because now I write a lot about the smart home and I write primarily about Google and what it can do in this realm. And so this is a good place where when you tap on any service, underneath available devices, it'll tell you what it's available for. Now, I wonder if it'll do that for Android Auto as well. So let's see. If I tap on Spotify, okay, it says it works on phones. I'm assuming that whatever works on phones would work with Android Auto. Because the thing is, I have heard of complaints from viewers of the show and, you know, people on Twitter saying that, like, this command doesn't work on Android Auto, which is really frustrating. And so, like, for example, why I can't use Google Podcasts with Android Auto, because that's just not available. But I imagine that there are, I mean, you can use the Spotify commands no problem with Android Auto. So I'd imagine there'd be some home control abilities there as well. I just think you have to do a little digging and a little trying out at home.
There's so many of these. Yeah.
And if you want to try it out at home and you have a head unit, just install Android Auto on your phone and use it that way. And, you know, just test it that way from home and see if it works.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's neat, though. It's a cool idea to have at your, you know, beck and call, basically, your voice commands while you're driving to say, like, hey, turn, you know, I'm going to be home in 15 minutes, so turn the heat up to 72 degrees so it's warm when I get there, or whatever the case may be.
I'd really like to drop a plug for KnowHow right now, because
we have an
episode coming up in a few weeks about how to use IoT in your car.
Nice.
Well, we haven't recorded it yet, but it's coming up.
And how that can possibly kind of tie into the IoT that you have in your home and everything. Nice.
Yep.
Perfect.
But for now, that's how you can try it out.
Awesome.
Before we move on, going back to Jason, to your example about using Assistant to announce that you're coming home, you know, via Android Auto, that's a new feature in Assistant and Google Home where you can use Assistant to announce that it will play something on all the Google Homes. And I showed it to my wife and I said, I'm going to use this all the time. And she says, and I'm going to unplug it and throw it away.
So
there you go. So just because you can use it doesn't mean everyone in your home wants you to use it.
I love to use it. And yes, my kids have learned how to use it too. And then they
broadcast.
Yeah. And so then they say things that they know they probably shouldn't say. And it goes throughout the entire
I just asked for a cup of water from downstairs. I am the worst.
Can you bring me some water? Thanks.
It's exactly from bed upstairs. Anyway, that's what it's for.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right. Hey, we have another voicemail. In fact, this week we have three, so we're doing all three in a row. This is the second of three voicemails from Kev, who has a question about something called Appy Geek.
Hey, guys. My name is Kev from Ohio. So I've been a loyal watcher of your show since the Eileen era and the Gina Trapani era. Guys, I've got a problem. I hope you can help me. So I've been using the Appy Geek app for my daily news recap on Android. Think of it like a study guide for you guys' show.
Yeah,
well,
good.
Just the last couple of days, they turned off the data service to it. So now it's just completely offline. I've watched Twitter. I've looked at their Google Play page. There's nothing. It's gone. They've already explained it. It's intentional. It's not coming back. So I was wondering, is there any sort of daily geeky news aggregator that you guys could recommend? All right. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kev.
Interesting.
That's sad. I do remember Appy Geek, and I used it a handful of times because, it was like a kind of geek news aggregator. They also had Appy or Gaming Geek or Appy Game or something like that. Anyways, they had a kind of a number of different kind of focuses, Appy Geek being one of them. To my understanding, to my memory, you're probably fine just going with some sort of an RSS solution, right?
You can build it up
it up yourself with Feedly, and you'd probably be as close. It might not look as like in the same kind of UI stylings. I know Appy Geek had a certain style to it as far as how it delivered that stuff. But that's one way to go about it.
There's also News Republic is a app that gets installed a lot on tablets for review. And there's also Flipboard, which I know comes native on a lot of Samsung devices. Maybe you don't want to deal with that.
And I think those are good suggestions. Yeah. Those, end up being more along the line of like all types of news.
Right.
And I feel like Appy Geek was more, probably the appeal of that was more that it's like, it's that, but specific to technology. And so it would catch a lot of things that might fall through the cracks on some of those other places.
Sounds like an app idea out there for someone.
Potentially so. And then who was it? JJ in chat is mentioning gitstream.io/wins. If you go to gitstream.io and look for Wins,
okay.
I've never heard of this, but I see. That's just a desktop app, so that's not going to work. But JJ says it's RSS and podcast player, kind of aggregator, all that kind of stuff. But yes, Appy Geek did turn off their data services. So no more there. Interesting that they did. I know that it was a pretty popular app for this sort of thing, but I think you're probably going to have the best luck doing some sort of RSS solution. Then you can tailor it, really. What are all of the sources that you follow and that you respect? An app like Feedly, you go in there and you can do search for these things. You don't have to like go to the website and find the RSS link and copy it and pull it in like you used to have to. You can go into Feedly and do searches and find these sources through there and create your own Android list. I'm sure you've thought of this at this point, or maybe not. Maybe RSS has faded out of the mind as far as solutions of this sort of thing, but still works really well. And I've been actually really liking Google News. Thanks for mentioning that in the chat, JJ. I don't know if you guys have been using Google News, but it's a pretty...
The new
app is kind of addicting. Like I find myself opening it on a daily basis, and it's a really great delivery of stuff. So
you can search for podcasts, by the way, and add them to your Feedly feed if you need. It'll tell you when they upload, so give that a try. You do have to pay for Feedly to get like super robust features, but
that's true.
The free version, I use the free version for journalism job, so
right,
it's fine.
Cool. All right, you're next.
So now we've got a V-mail from Willie.
What's up, All About Android crew? This is Willie from San Antonio. I was calling to see if y'all knew of any way to get the Google Wi-Fi assistant to disconnect from an open Wi-Fi access point if it's below a certain speed. I find myself sometimes connected to open Wi-Fi spots that are just slower than my LTE, and it's almost pointless to use them because it becomes almost unusable. So any advice you could give on that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks a lot. Love the show. Love your work. Take care. Bye.
Have you guys used this, the Wi-Fi assistant?
I have, with mixed results.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's similar to that. I mean, it's like, I think this is a problem that a lot of people have in metro areas where there's a lot of Wi-Fi that's going around, and the assistant seems to be, you would think the assistant would be smart enough to connect to a Wi-Fi, point that will be good for you. But sometimes your LTE connection or your mobile connection is better than the Wi-Fi one. And for some reason is giving a dominance to Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So I find myself going and turning Wi-Fi off all the time. Like in New York City, there's all these Link NYC, these kind of street, kind of free Wi-Fi things. If you're standing next to one, it's great. If you're halfway down the block, it's not. And just because it can connect to it doesn't mean that it's better than what you've got. And so it's very frustrating.
So. Yeah, this is similar to what you find on Project Fi, right? The Wi-Fi network hopping. Google has vetted a certain number, a certain kind of agreements with different places that offer free public Wi-Fi. And so they vetted them. And Google says that when they're using this feature, you can turn this off in settings, by the way. You can tell it not to connect to these types of Wi-Fi networks. But if you're using Wi-Fi Assistant or on Project Fi, that sort of thing, Google says that it's analyzing these connections to determine that they are fast enough to connect to, and if they are, then they'll connect you to it automatically, and that they've vetted them for safety and that sort of stuff. I've experienced that too, where it connects to it and strangely, for whatever reason, that Wi-Fi access point is just laggy, slow, non-responsive sometimes, and I just have to kind of toggle it off. So if you want to turn it off altogether, there is a setting in that you can go to turn off that network hopping feature so it doesn't automatically connect you to it. But I looked through. I couldn't find any sort of, a toggle or timeline or whatever to make any sort of an adjustment that says, if less than this data speed, then don't connect to it and just keep me on my mobile or whatever. I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
So,
but you can tick off the ability to connect to open networks in your Wi-Fi preferences in the Android system settings. Yep. So you might want to do that. Also, switch to mobile data automatically, which allows you to switch back to mobile data when the Wi-Fi spot is too weak.
And actually, I just thought of this. When you connect to one of these networks successfully, it saves that connection in your settings to say this is a trusted Wi-Fi access point to connect to next time. If it automatically connects you to one of these and you find that it's slower and you don't want it to do that again, you can go into your settings. You can remove that. That might help. That might keep it from automatically jumping on there because you've already said in the past this is a good one, merely by connecting to it because of that setting. So maybe you remove it and that would help.
I will say I do like the icon with the little Wi-Fi wave with little sparkles around it. I like that icon in the notification pane. That's pretty cool.
Right.
All right. Our next email is pretty brief, doesn't have a question, but it's from one of my favorite listeners, watchers of the show. Lori Helms writes in and says, I've been watching All About Android for a very long time. See picture. Love you all. And she submitted a lovely picture of watching old school. When I wasn't even on the show, I was off that episode. That was Jason Applebaum, I believe. Yep. That's who it is in the picture. And there's Jason with his mod haircut. and Eileen Rivera, who's one of the best people ever, and Lori watching on her tablet, which is awesome. Thank you, Lori. You're the best. Thank you for sticking with us all these years.
What tablet is this? It's a Samsung tablet. What is it?
It's got to be old.
Yeah. Right?
Look at that. Like that's got to be like, that's like ice cream sandwich. What is that?
Yeah.
That's before ice cream sandwich. That's, what was the first tablet?
Is that OS? Honeycomb?
It might be Honeycomb. That looks like Honeycomb.
It does look like Honeycomb.
Yeah. Yeah. With on the left side, all the long, those
that
icons.
Faux
yeah.
desktop interface.
Yeah. Strange. But that's awesome. Lori's the best. I was just recollecting before we did the show about the fact that how long we've been doing the show for 7 years. It has been 7 years since I've watched the Major League Baseball All-Star game because it's always on a Tuesday night. And here I am doing the show on Tuesdays. So
maybe someday that'll get corrected so that you can actually watch it.
Someday.
Let's see here. Chris Ursich wrote in to say, please cover the recent changes affecting G Suite, the Google Apps accounts. Google is silently removing features without notice or explanation. You may have seen some coverage on Android Police, and he attached a link. Says, this kind of behavior makes me go to take a reading from the evil O-meter. And I would say to this that Jeff Jarvis is probably having an embolism anytime this type of stuff happens because he's always complaining about this. And it's just such an ongoing issue, the fact that if you're a G Suite user and you've got a Google account that's a G Suite account, all these features, for whatever reason, there must be a really good reason that Google has, but for whatever reason, Google will roll out new features that seem perfectly fit for these enterprise accounts, and yet they're never compatible and they never become compatible. And in this case, that compatibility is removed. G Suite users now can't send messages through a system. They get a response that says, sorry, I can't send emails from this account. That goes for text or email, same error. Also issues with redeeming Google Play promotion codes, issues with rating Play Store content from your G Suite account. And I mean, and the list goes on and on. So it's just kind of a bummer that this even happens. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because these seem to be the accounts that people are actually paying for. Why are they feature less, not feature full?
I don't know. I think Google's still trying to figure out what to do here in the enterprise.
They've been trying
to
figure this. This has been a long, long, long standing.
Well,
issue.
They didn't start as an enterprise company. They're a search company trying to that became used by everybody.
They sleep on beds of money.
I think the fallback that they're a search company who's doing other stuff is running out of steam. They clearly are doing enough stuff and have expanded. They still are a search company. They still are an advertising company. And I think but they've almost mastered that stuff. And now they're stumbling into things like enterprise and services and things like that. But I mean, they've been trying to evolve the G Suite for the past year, like notably, like make it a consumer product. Don't make it arcane. Make it, you know, more friendly for the enterprise. And I got to wonder what these there's got to be something driving a lot of these decisions. And so, you know, to be a fly on the wall in Mountain Dew.
With goals.
Who is that someone?
From their manager.
Reveal yourself, someone.
It's me. I'm just trying to make a good annual progress report. Leave me alone. I'm sorry. I get it.
All right, fine. You can sit down now.
All right. Shall we jump into one more little query there?
Sure.
Okay, so this is from Vivek.
Hurry it up.
Wow, okay. Why don't all app developers / companies give option to apply dark theme in all apps like on Instagram, YouTube, WhatsApp, Play Store, Gmail, and many more? It's very frustrating to use these apps at night, and is there any way without rooting to get ultimate dark mode, throughout all apps in Android, especially on Instagram and YouTube? So I guess the answer to this is... there was a night mode feature that was featured in Nougat, and I know we talked about it because I recall briefly writing about it back in the day. It was but it was disabled in 7.1, and the setting is still there, but it doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, I've got night mode automatic based on time of day. Now, this night mode is not the same as the night light mode. Right. This is in the developer options. And even if I turn it always on, it doesn't change anything. I think that they deactivated because I remember it, at one point it worked and it was in a developer preview or it was something.
I remember because we all wrote about it.
And everybody was like, yay, finally, night mode comes to Android. And then they stopped working. And now they have the night light function.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that's night light is just for eye strain.
Right, but so let's see.
I guess
see here.
Night mode would be this. The same thing, but.
Night mode! So let's see here. So I've got night light. And so, sorry, you got that song joke. Turns on at a custom time. Mine turns on at 10, off at 6. Intensity. Why can't
off at 6? Mine goes off at 8.
Wow.
I stay with the yellow hue until 8.
Why?
And mine goes from 8 to 8.
Huh. I'm bugged when I wake up and it's all funky. I want it normal from the time I wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. So take that, Android. I win.
I mean, there's certainly third-party apps.
This is tinting the screen amber, as it says. It also kind of dims the screen, though, right? Doesn't it?
It dims it to a certain extent.
So,
but it's not the same as a night mode with the dark,
which is
with
like
the dark background.
Dark theming.
Yes,
almost.
Dark theming. It's like flipping over. So I imagine that there are third-party apps out there that can help facilitate this, perhaps theming apps that can help facilitate this. But natively, it just doesn't seem like an easy possibility right now.
Yeah, I mean, in order, because what Vivek is talking about, you're right, is like not just turn, you know, all the UI elements dark. It's like reach into all the apps that I use
exactly.
And make them dark too.
Yeah.
And that sounds really challenging.
What if the new material theming will maybe help aid with this, I wonder?
That would be a nice feature. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Like the way that the interface is written, like it's easier to just, I don't know. I'm just
flip the switch.
Coming up with this out of my head.
Because I would agree. It's, you know, it kind of sucks when you're trying to use your phone late at night.
It does.
It's blinding you. You're blinded by the light.
She blinded me like with by the light.
Exactly.
Jason just speaks in yacht rock.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love it.
That's my life. Yep. All right, Ron, you got the next one. Yes.
Are we doing more? Sure. All right. More.
Oh, we're almost at the end of them.
Yeah.
It's almost 6:30. Okay. Z from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I'm going to be next week, writes in and says, I've been an Android user since the OG Droid. I was given an iPhone for work for the better part of 2 years. My employer allowed us to use them for personal use as well as business, but I refused to give up my Galaxy S5 at the time. Ended up using two phones, so I didn't miss the Android life. Good on you, Z. All right, so Z says, I'm currently using a Pixel 2 XL, and I've got to say, I'm not as infatuated with Android as I've been in my GS5 days. Uh-oh. Recently, I've had three issues that are really starting to get annoying in my daily use. Number one, only the original rapid charge cable will charge the phone. Oh. The Aukey cables, A-U-K-E-Y, I guess a third-party brand, Aukey, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cables I'd used for 6 months now only slow down the discharge of the battery when plugged in. Number two, the USB-C port is loose for any cable I plug in.
Ah, dang.
And number three, I recently bought a car with Android Auto. As I tried to connect, it wasn't detecting the Pixel 2 XL. I made sure the USB allowed file transfer and a few other proposed solutions I found in Android forums, but I could not get it to work. Some posts suggested that Google told them that the Pixel 2 XL is not a supported Android Auto capable phone.
No.
So Z says, I'm not saying I want to jump ship to the other guys, but I... Oh, jeez.
I'm trying to learn.
My Google Home just went off. Sorry. So Z says, I'm not saying I want to jump ship to other guys, but I expected a better experience from a top-tier phone. Let's go bottom to top here. The Pixel 2 XL's got to work with Android Auto, right?
It does.
Yes.
Right? All right. So clearly something's amiss in Denmark there.
That's weird.
I have a feeling this is just a USB cable issue because the minute mentions original rapid charge cable, like the Aukey cables, is very possible that just because they were charging full speed, it doesn't mean that they're like really good cables. They could still be the wrong kind of USB-C cables, and that's why they're not delivering full speed. Also, I had that problem with Android Auto in its infancy where if I didn't have the appropriate cable, USB-C cable, then the phone would not connect to Android Auto, which was frustrating. So I just used what came out of the box.
So that could be that. That's absolutely correct. And jumping up to one about the original rapid charge cable was the only one that will charge the phone.
Yeah.
Just Google best USB-C cable for Pixel 2 XL, and you will find articles on Android Central, Android Authority, posts in the XDA forums, like so many posts about the right cables to get to use with the Pixel 2 XL.
So I just want to say you don't have to go to the XDA forums. You can actually go to bensonapproved.com. Mm, and Benson Luing, he has actually been testing USB Type-C cables on all of these devices. And so you definitely, and then if you shop from him, he gets a little kickback for all the work from, if you buy it off Amazon, for all the work he does behind the scenes. He actually tests these things.
That was where I was going.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Ron.
That's all right. There are great resources that can tell you exactly which ones to get. You could replace those Aukey cables and you'll be fine. But the USB-C port being loose for any cable you plug in, that might be a physical problem. Yeah. You might want to see if you can get it replaced if it's under warranty. If that connector is getting loose and no cable stays in, I mean, does the rapid charge cable, does that feel loose? If that's the case, you might want to call Google, see if you can get a replacement. Ugh. So.
I could see how that would be an issue in your port.
Yeah.
If you're very aggressive, you could definitely bend that thing.
Yeah, I've not experienced a USB-C port getting loose like that.
I have
many times, with the old style, but not
yeah,
really.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have not. I'm very fragile with my USB-C port, apparently.
But let's not forget how many phones you've cracked. Sunscreens you've cracked in the last since I've been on the show.
I make up for it with the USB-C port, okay?
Well, as we've already established, Jason is much higher from the ground than the rest of us.
It's also true. That's also true. You're at least a foot taller than, not a, well, yeah, you're
I'm
at least
a mile taller than everybody else in this world. It's
so
true.
When you drop a phone, of course it's going to break.
And it's time to drop the email segment and move on to the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
But only one lives.
Only one lives. The other two, You don't want to know about those. Twit.to/AAAPoll377 is the place that you went, not the place to go, because voting's done. And AccuBattery wins with 40%
of the vote. Yeah, I knew AccuBattery was going to win.
Of course. So the guest gets another check mark. Second place is Clean Fox, 25%. Woo-hoo. Third place is Dancing Line, 21%. And fourth place is Auto Pick at 15%. Good voting numbers.
And it doesn't look like Wade County is live tonight, so I can't tell you what the results are.
I'm probably still in last place. That
I
know.
We could figure it out, though, because if the guest won, they previously hit 71, so now the guests are at 76. I came in last, so that's 1 point, so I'm at 67. Flo beat Jason. Who came? Jason, you came in last, so Flo came in second?
No, I came in second last.
Oh, so you came in second. Anyway, so Jason and Flo are third and fourth. There you go.
All right. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So that means I go first, right?
Yes, you go first. I've got it installed. I'll show it off.
Well, I got a fun little story to tell you. Every now and then, you might hear us talking about some of the folks behind the scenes at Twit, including our good friend Burke, who for many, many years has both entertained and tormented me in my various participation in Twit shows. Burke is amazing. He's the best. Burke loves to email us little tips, things he finds out there. And Burke's got a great, interesting point of view. But he pointed out to me, as well as the namesake of this app, Flo, this game that came out a few months ago called Florence.
Yes. Originally on iOS, by the way.
Originally on iOS. It was produced by Annapurna Interactive, which is actually a film studio, Annapurna, which has made a bunch of great – it's a very small boutique film studio like A24. They make some great movies. They hired the guy who did – or the person who did what's the game? What's the game? I'm forgetting the name of it now. It's amazing. It looks beautiful. It was in the museum.
I'm
totally blanking. Monument Valley.
Yeah.
The same designer as Monument Valley. And basically, this is a narrative. It's kind of like a living graphic novel game where you meet Florence, who's 25 years old, and you go through various chapters of her life. And there's little here she's brushing her teeth. And if you brush left and right, you can see the progress bar. And so you can help Flo or Florence brush her teeth. And there's Flo, right? There's our Flo brushing her teeth. And here she's on the subway or in the car, so she can like or retweet Instagram posts or you two different actions as she looks at her phone. I thought very Florence like action. I thought listening to some music. Florence likes a lot of photos. So look at that one. It's in the peace.
I mean,
sign.
I do. That's all I do on Instagram. Yep.
So there you go. Knows. So Florence on the subway. And in this first chapter, we go through a day in Florence's life.
Wait. Florence working right at 9 o'clock.
So here she is. She's working on a spreadsheet. You got to match. You got
a
match
number.
So
this is the easiest spreadsheet ever.
Florence is 25. She doesn't have a lot of employment opportunities here. She's taking what she can get. She's in a cube. She's doing what she can. She's now, her mother's going to call. And so you can do that.
Yeah. No, keep going. Keep.
you got to answer it, unfortunately, to move forward. So
you do?
Yeah, so answer the phone. And now you can have the conversation. You can choose what she says. This points out to me that there's no audio. There's actually great audio with this app, and it works great. It actually suggests headphones. But you can do choose your own adventure in terms of choosing what you want to say to Florence's mother, who wants her to have a boyfriend. And so it's really kind of engaging and fun. And I played through like four chapters of this. Here you can help Florence eat her sushi dinner. So all you got to do is tap on the sushi and she'll eat it.
Oh, I want sushi.
Watches TV, you can see the shadow behind her. She's just sitting on the couch.
This is very... Like,
Florence, how familiar is this game to your life, Florence?
Very familiar.
Yeah, so...
Sushi to go in front of the TV.
So it kind of plugs along. That's the first chapter, and not every chapter is like it. This is just giving you an example of what Florence's life is like. And
mundane.
You get the sense of this mundane mid-20s something who's always on her phone, that sort of thing.
Oh, and here, not true to life. Nobody's asleep that early.
You've completed the first chapter. And so what's really great is it's really good interactive storytelling. The second chapter, Florence is cleaning her closet and she stumbles on a box of memories. And if you scroll up, you go through it. The interfaces, it goes up, down, left, right. Really kind of clever interface, really good. We get to revisit Florence's life when she's seven. I don't know how familiar this is to our Florence, but here there's a picture of a sailboat, and you can color it, so you just drag things on there. You can hit the color wheel, and it'll change the colors, right? And so you can design your sailboat. Really cute. It's just clearly it's cutesy design, that sort of thing. But you go through, not spoiler warning, she meets a boy, and then the story becomes her adventures with her budding romance with Krish. Who changes everything about how she sees the world. So the game is called Florence. It's $2.99 in the Google Play Store. I felt a little closer to Florence while playing it. I don't know. Maybe you guys will. Will too. So while I know that the Florence in this game is Asian, I like to pretend it's our Flo. So there it is.
Thank you, Burke,
for letting us know and giving us a way to get closer to Florence. I like it. So $2.99. I only do games when they're good games, and it's really, really good. If you like Monument Valley, if you like kind of experiential kind of thing, also if you like kind of graphic novels that are more romance-based or like life-based or whatever, this is up your alley. So definitely check it out.
Awesome.
So it is up my alley.
You should really play Florence.
Oh, yeah, I have it installed. I meant to bring it to the arena one of these days, but Ron beat me to it.
Yep.
Wah, wah, wah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's what happens.
All right, so you're going to show off an app with Ron's name in it?
No.
Oh.
So here's the deal. I'm kind of down in the dumps today, so I decided to bring an app to the arena that would artificially add happiness.
Oh.
To things.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a selfie.
All right, that's one way to cheer up.
No, you should be doing the peace sign like in the Florence app.
All right. All right. So I am showing off an app called Show Candy Rainbow. Oh, look. Hello, it's me talking. It's called Show Candy Rainbow. So what you do, and actually, Josh, if you don't mind, I need to... Yeah, thank you. So this is just a app that adds rainbows to your pictures. So that's what I'm showing off today. Yep. Here's one version of a rainbow.
Whoa.
Wow. There's another version of a rainbow.
Whoa.
Look, I can adjust the intensity of the rainbow. Well, I don't know. This rainbow is kind of feeling that. That's an aura rainbow.
It's an interesting one.
There's another rainbow. Man, I love all these rainbows. There's a rainbow. Now the whole studio's rainbow-ish.
That's like glitchy rainbow.
Oh, there's a S rainbow just going over my face. There's a little
That's like a lens flicker, flare rainbow.
Flicker of rainbow. There's a curved rainbow.
It's a good question Chumley has. Can it double rainbow or double complete rainbow?
There's your triple rainbow right there just coming out.
Okay.
That's
better than a double rainbow.
So you've got rainbows, and then in addition to rainbows, you can also adjust the brightness. Hello.
Potentially.
Hello.
Sometimes not.
What are you doing? There you go. Oh, I see. You have to tap and then... I didn't actually know you do that for the filter. So you have to tap and then move it to do that. And then you're done. You just save it.
And you're like, this is the right rainbow.
This is the rainbow.
Can you taste the rainbow?
Taste the rainbow. Good job, Jason.
I don't think you want to lick my phone
screen. Yeah, you probably don't. That's a bad idea.
Show candy.
So many rainbows.
So many double complete rainbows.
So many rainbows. And I think you can actually move when the rainbow goes, if I'm not mistaken.
If you like rainbows, you'll
love. If you like rainbows, just
Show Candy Rainbow.
Yeah.
If you don't like rainbows, or if you like rainbows, they're fine, but you don't want rainbows in your pictures, then you might want to check out an app called Moment. Moment is a camera app. And I haven't shown off a camera app in quite a while. I remember back in the olden days, camera apps were often featured in the arena. But then we kind of got to a point where camera apps just, even the stock apps were pretty good, good enough.
And then the Pixel came.
And the quality of the photos were fine. But back in the day, you felt like the stock camera app was the thing that was holding you back. It wasn't the quality of the camera. It was the app. And you needed to get the best app to get the best picture. And we, you know, in some cases that was true. Well, now it's kind of hard to impress with a camera app. But I think that one thing that is missing a lot of times in stock camera apps are these kind of manual modes. And beyond that, a usable kind of interface to tie into that. And so Moment is $1.99. And I believe they launched this for iOS. They've now brought it to Android. And it has a very nice kind of layout to it that makes thumbing through some of the manual adjustments pretty easy to do. This does have the API, it's Camera 2 API built in, so it can do raw file format. If you go up here, that's switching between JPEG and RAW
file. You can just led with that
right into that.
Agreed.
Yeah. See, rainbows, raw files. It's a different R, totally different flavor. But you have all of these different adjustments down here, like the ISO and autofocus, auto white balance, and they can all be manualized however you want. You just adjust the slider. If you want to go back to auto, you just double tap it, and that'll take it back to an auto mode. So you can do that for everything. Auto focus. Right now it's in true auto focus. I can rack it out here and adjust it. Here, let's see here. I'll put my finger right there. I can focus just to my finger right there. It's just got a nice one-handed kind of swiping. You know, everything's positioned well for a single-handed kind of camera
versus
operation.
Snapseed, which is like you can just scroll over the place sometimes.
Yeah, and you're like thumbing around, and finally you luck into
exactly.
It. And yeah, so I could adjust the ISO here. Hold on, I think I just there we go. Woo, fast, super amounts. Open up that lens. Anyways, you can just kind of thumb around, and if you know exactly what you're looking for, it just kind of makes it a little bit easier. You've also got this histogram. Oh, it's blocked down here. A histogram down at the bottom.
Oh, look at that mini histo.
Nice little mini histo. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's the back button that it was being embedded in. It's supposed to appear up there. I don't know why it was down there. And then you have, you know, some of your other kind of standard things, like a timer if you want it to start after 10 seconds. You can do that, and it would count down. You can see the progress meter in the little button down there. And then this is kind of nice. So it has these guides, right? And these will actually tell you, I don't know if you can see it, they can show you where the horizon is. So as I turn it.
Ooh.
So you'll always have
straight
shots.
Wow,
that's cool. That's very cool.
I'm always straightening my shots after I take them. Apparently, I'm not very straight.
Yeah.
The way I stand up.
It's, you know, there's not a whole lot of bells and whistles. It's just a lot of the manual camera features that you might want. And as, you know, if you're really good at using those, I'm not very good at using some of the, the ISO features and knowing exactly when I choose one over the other. But I appreciate that they're there. The interface on how to use them is really easy to use. And, and also if you go into a photo that you've taken, you get a lot of metadata included on it as well. You can kind of take a look at the metadata of those photos and find that, yes, this was shot with my Pixel 2 XL. No lens. Moment makes a whole series of attachable lens for camera photos, for phone cameras. There we go. And so there's actually functionality in here that ties into those, this little button up here, the different types of lenses. And because I don't have a lens, I can't show that off.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm kind of curious to know how that would change things. Because when I select it, it doesn't really change the look of anything here. But I imagine it taps into the hardware in some unique way. And I'd love to
test
it out.
These are serious lenses.
How much do they cost?
Anamorphic lens, 120. New wide lens, 100. Teleportrait, 90. Macro lens, 90. Wow. These are serious business lenses.
Yeah, you could do a lot. And you get yourself a nice mount, and you've got a nice vlog machine.
Hey, I mean, that's the future.
Because the world needs a vlog machine.
Yes, as you travel the world, posting updates to your Insta as they follow you.
Follow me. Checking
into, hotels. And
be sure to favorite and subscribe.
Yeah.
Leave a comment.
And then one of these.
Like and subscribe down here and up here. Hit don't that, forget to hit this one over here.
Hit that subscribe button until it turns gray. You know, that sort of thing.
Jeez. But here's the thing. We probably should be doing that.
I love it.
Every show. Just, everybody does it.
Yes, please, please do hit subscribe.
Yeah, yeah, no, down there. Yes, please hit the subscribe button until it turns gray. All right. Anyways, that's Moment Pro Camera, $1.99, and you too can take pictures like a pro. Video support is coming soon. They're going to be building that in. I guess that's on iOS, and that is about to be on Android as well.
Can we please appreciate the fact that Jason also put notes for this in the doc for this for his app pick?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do when I think about it. Do you?
No, that's why I feel like I want to appreciate you for that.
You should.
You planned out your arena talk, whereas I brought phone.
I could hardly use it because I'm using this tablet, but anyways.
Well, I just want to appreciate that about you. So.
Thanks.
Appreciated.
twit.to/AAAPoll378. I hope that it works because I updated it from this tablet. twit.to/AAAPoll378. And place your vote. For your favorite
app.
Who's
Macintosh going to vote for? Oh, wait, he can't. It's grayed out.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
It knows he's an Apple user.
Oh.
It does so knows. You. Yeah.
Oh, it's you.
He doesn't have a Google Plus account. That's why.
Oh, so click on the five votes there and we'll see
who's voted so far.
Hi, we're outing you. Moment gets 40%. That's okay. It's all part of the game.
Yeah.
There you go. Moment gets 40%. Florence gets 40%. Show Candy Rainbow gets 20%. That's where we stand right now.
Because really,
if Florence wins,
yes.
If Florence wins, I get the points. I just want to be clear about that. And by the way, I voted for Florence, so there you go.
Heck yeah,
it's fine. We're allowed to vote for our own app.
Nothing wrong with that. That's part of the rules.
I just want to say, if you're going to vote in this week's arena, how do you not vote for Florence? Listen.
See, yeah, it's a 66% chance you're voting
Ron
for Florence
is trying to
in
say
some way,
a
shape,
vote
or form.
For Ron is a vote for Flo.
Oh, I'm so confused.
No, a vote for Flo is a vote for Ron, is a vote for Florence. Who likes Florence? Vote, hit like, and subscribe. Hey, guys.
All right, we'll check in on it next week and see how you voted.
And maybe I'll find an app with Ron's name in it.
Yeah, that should have been a theme. We should have just all been charged with finding an app.
We're talking about doing themes this year, and then we never...
Yeah, we should do another theme thing. Let's plan that.
Let's talk about that.
Let's plan more themes.
We did music. That was fun. We should do spreadsheets. No, I don't know.
Oh, dear God, no.
Oh, if we do spreadsheets, I can wear my shirt with a pocket, and then I'll put all my favorite pens in it. Oh, please. Then I get to dress the part.
We'll talk about it. We'll discuss this offline.
And my crisp white shirt, which I do have one that I get dry cleaned. It's like a crisp white.
It'll be amazing. You'll enjoy.
I'll put my hair in a bun and I'll wear glasses, even though I don't need glasses.
All right.
And then you can brush your teeth, and then we can eat sushi. Like Florence.
Sounds great to me.
And then reject the call that
sounds
keeps
like a
coming
date.
From your
Let's
mom.
Let's do it.
All right, that's it for this week. We've gone long enough. I think we've hit that point where it's obviously the end of the show. Ron, thank you, sir. What's up with you and your life?
My pleasure. You can follow me at RonXO and on Twitter and on Instagram. Very excited. If you for those don't know, I don't talk about it much, but I do by day. I work at Marvel, and I'm very excited because we just launched the new Marvel website at marvel.com. So if you feel like checking that out, I've been working hard on that. That launched last week. Cool stuff. So nice. That's my life.
Right on. So, good life, man. Good to talk with
not
you.
Not too
once
bad.
Again.
Great job, Ron.
Love being here.
Site looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's actually it's a vast improvement. So
nice.
Wait, good is stuff. That Winnie?
Yes, she's on the. Yeah, we had an interview with Danica McKellar. If you scroll down, you'll see that.
Yes, you'll see Winnie.
Whoa, that is Winnie.
That is Winnie.
Yeah.
So. Sold.
Pretty cool.
Right on, Flo. What about you?
Well, you know me. I'm doing a show called Know How with Megan Maroney, and third ep is airing this week on Thursday at 11 a.m., so please tune in. It is about smart stuff. I don't want to say the wrong thing because I want to make sure it's the right
it's
one.
It's about...
You stay tuned.
IoT.
It's about... I mean, it is about IoT. So that's that. And pretty soon I will be updating my website. I've had a lot of stuff post in the last couple of weeks. I've got... all the security systems, the DIY security systems that I was testing for the last 6 months, they are trickling out on tomsguide.com. So if you want to just search for my name and, I mean, you don't really, I mean, you could just go find Nest Secure. I reviewed that. I've got a couple more rolling out. And then I'm currently working on a bunch of other stuff. Mm. And if you happen to be shopping for SD cards, I also have a roundup for that at review.com.
Dang. You're busy.
I'm very busy. It's true. But it's good because it means I'm working, which I'm happy about.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com for music things or here on Twit for technology things. That's pretty much my life. Mac and Josh, thank you, sir. Appreciate you hopping in for Victor.
You're welcome. Well, I am Victor, just with the Josh mask.
That's right. That's right. You're wearing the Josh
and
the Josh
dude. And he would have got away with it if it wasn't for us darn kids.
Pull the mask off. Anything you want to leave people with, Josh?
Oh, leave people with?
Yes.
Man, when it's phrased that way.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, actually, I do a little podcast of my own, actually.
That's right.
Called Meeting Famous People. And you can check it out at meetingfamouspeople.com or on Instagram and Twitter at famouspeoplepod. But I talk to people, the name is a little bit misleading, and intentionally, I talk to people who have met someone famous.
And obviously they have a really long story to tell because they're like really good friends with these famous people.
No, not at all. No. They may have seen a famous person and we talk about that.
They just met
that I have
person.
So many stories for you, Josh, of all the Laguna Hills people I've met over the years.
It's exciting. It's
Are they Hills. Famous Laguna Hills people?
They were famous in 2004 when Laguna Hills originally premiered on MTV.
That works. See, I didn't even know that was a show.
But anyway, you should also follow me on Instagram, too. I didn't want to forget that either.
Don't forget that.
You did the challenge.
The what challenge?
With your bird.
Oh, the fluff challenge thing or whatever that's called.
Where you hold up the blanket and then you run away from the blanket and then your pet goes, "Where did my person go?"
Yeah,
and then
yeah, that's on there.
And your bird had a reaction.
Anyway.
And if you want to know, check out Josh's Insta.
Well, I went on an Instagram hole for it, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Which, yeah, I feel honored that I caused you to go through that. That's awesome.
You should. I think. It's better than the other things I go down an Instagram hole for, which is, anyway.
Anywho, all good things. Josh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Victor, we miss you.
We really do.
We hope to see you next week. That's it for this week. Voicemails can be left like three people did this week at 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Arena apps list. If you want to find all the apps that we've featured on the Arena, including this week's, you can go to twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. That's where you're going to find all the links to all the shows that we've done. You have a lot of catching up to do if you've only just begun watching and listening to this show. If you want to watch us live, you can do that every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. Just go to twit.tv/live or come into the studio and sit where that cupcake is sitting on a chair. And you just have to email tickets@twit.tv and maybe you'll get a cupcake.
Thank you, Cupcake.
Thank you,
Cupcake. It's really great having you here. Thank you.
Appreciate your support.
Very cool.
Where are you staying, by the way, Cupcake?
Oh, you're staying at the Mrs. Fields factory. Oh, they're going to turn you into cookies.
Interesting. I'm sorry.
Wow.
We'll talk afterwards. And I think that's about it. We're delirious now. It's time that we say goodbye, but we'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Toodaloo!
Toodaloos. Josh is ready. Do you know what that means?
It's time for a tasting.
It's time for a tasting. And this time, this is a bi-coastal tasting.
Yeah.
Not only do we have Oreos here, you have Oreos there.
Jason was kind enough to expedite an Amazon shipment to me, and I got a box of Oreos on Sunday, which is always a fun thing. Which, by the way, Amazon delivery on Sunday still doesn't feel right in the world.
But, I know, it's weird.
What are you going to do? But I didn't know what was going to be in this box. And so I got immensely excited when I opened the box to find the one of the flavors is a crossover with the fine folks at Good Humor, which make ice cream bars. And this flavor is strawberry shortcake, which if you see on the cover, and Jason, you could probably show it better than I can through my camera, but our friends watching it, it's going to taste like the legendary Good Humor Strawberry Shortcake Bar, ice cream bar, which was a staple at my elementary school from the years of 1982 through 1989. And once in third grade on a dare, I was dare to eat every kid in the third grade's ice cream bar. And I think I ate 32 before I tapped out at lunchtime.
What? So,
what?
That's a lot of ice cream bars, dude.
Wow.
It was one of those epic school moments. It was like straight out of a movie.
Put your tongue on the frozen flagpole.
Exactly.
Moment.
Because it was the whole kind of thing. Like people didn't want it because they wanted toasted almond was like the Good Humor flavor. You wanted a toasted almond, but we kept on having strawberry shortcake and nobody liked it. And what happened was that there was an area where if you didn't want food, you could put it. And anyone who wanted that food could take it and eat it. And on this strawberry shortcake day, for some reason, like three people put it there. I'm like, well, I'm going to eat them. And then people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I had my bar and then I had their three bars. And I'm like, well, I'm going to eat all these strawberry shortcake bars. And then the word got out and people just started giving them to me. And I kept on going. And then I stopped at 32, not because I was full, but because lunchtime had ended and I ran out of time. So
wow.
Wow. So it was, given a little bit more time, you could have seen that through to the end. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, so I'm excited because tonight I'm going to eat this entire box of Oreos.
All right. We'll see.
Wait, by the way, did you open it yet?
I have not. I'm personally a little worried to open this because I bought it and then I put it in my car and then I came to work. This is the end of last week. And then I worked all day, and then I remembered I had Oreos in the car.
In your, 110-degree car, because that's like a
so
hot
it could be deformed. Could be a little
so
deformed.
Before you open it, okay. Just real quickly about it, it is it's the vanilla Oreo cookie. It's the yellow Oreo cookie, not chocolate.
Right.
And it with strawberry flavored bits that are artificially flavored in the pink cream inside of it. And so, Jason, when you open it, I want you to catch a whiff of the opening smell.
Okay.
Okay.
And here, and it has not expired, by the way. All right, here we go.
No, he saves those for when he isn't here.
What does that smell like to you?
I don't know. You know,
my
brain is tricked. It smells like chemicals to me.
Me next.
No, let Flo do it, and then I'll tell you, and then you're going to go, oh, you're right. You ready? It is strawberry quick.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. That's exactly okay. What it is. It's the powder form, to form.
Now, are those cookies deformed at all, or are they normal?
No, they're fine.
Okay.
This really tastes it smells chemically of strawberry.
Yeah, it really does have a chemical.
All right,
it smells like strawberry quick. If it tastes like strawberry quick, we're going to have a winner on our hands here.
All right, we could. Here we go.
So I'm tasting the pink cream. Wow.
Oh, I see what the point is of this.
I mean, I'm going to eat the rest of it.
Let's try it dipped in coffee.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. As the Flo dips and eats, this is a winner.
Yeah, this is a good flavor.
I'm feeling it, too.
Yeah.
It's not like that jelly donut or whatever we had, like whatever that was berry and tasted just awful.
Right. Yeah, no, that works. That works for me. And it's different enough. The little hand would like some. Oh man.
Hey.
The little hand is trolling Burke, apparently. All right.
No, Burke is just showing his loyalty.
That works.
Just kidding, by the way.
Okay, I'd eat another one of those.
I am eating another one of them.
If you were to sit down with Oreos and be like, right now is Oreo snacking time, how many of those could you eat?
Three. Dip it in milk.
Three?
Oh, no. I could probably eat this whole box.
Really?
Ooh,
oh, boy.
I could eat it with
too
Nestle
sweet.
Quick.
That would be good. Yeah. Okay. So score. Ron, I'm curious.
Ratings. I'm going to give this a solid 8.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Flo?
I'll give it a 7.5. I would definitely eat it if they were at a friend's house or offered for free to me, as they just were. But probably wouldn't be my first choice. I'm not really a strawberry connoisseur. I'm a chocolate gal. Tried and true.
I can do strawberry in doses, but too much of it be overwhelming. I'd probably give it a 7.
Yeah.
So 7, 7.5, 8. We're right around the same.
Yeah.
Same territory with this one.
I'm having a third one.
Wow. You go.
Hey.
You go, Ron.
I'm going to stop now, though.